Good evening. We're going to look to the book of Zephaniah this evening. If you need a reminder of where that is, like I did, it is the fourth last book in the Old Testament. So if you start at Matthew and work your way back, you will get there. We are going to read chapter 1 and then the first three verses of chapter 2. So I will get started here and we'll look forward to what our brother has to share with us from this portion of the word. Starting in chapter 1, the book of Zephaniah. The word of the Lord, which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amira, the son of Hizkiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and with the name of the Chimerims with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear by the Lord and swear by Malcolm, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice and hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Makdish, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass that at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore, their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. The day is that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. With these words on our minds, let's kneel before the Lord in prayer.
Good evening. We welcome each of you tonight in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't have much of a sermon tonight for you. It's more perhaps a Bible study of this first chapter of Zephaniah. But if you wanted a title for tonight's study, it's Hidden by God. Hidden by God. We'd like to look at this first chapter of Zephaniah, and as we study it, or the historical background of it, and what the prophet predicts regarding the fall of the kingdom of Judah, I want you to make application for today. As we read, many of these Old Testament prophets, we're reminded of conditions that exist maybe not in the greatest extent as here, but we're reminded of many conditions that exist in our nation and our world today. And the answers for those conditions are the same now as in these Old Testament times. So we'd like to take a few minutes this evening and look at Zephaniah chapter 1. If you keep your Bibles open there, we will be using that and then a few other references also. But I draw your attention to Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord. Here the prophet says, the word of the Lord. It's not me, it's not my thoughts, it's not my will, it's not my wishes, but the word of the Lord. It means it will happen. It will happen. Which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, the king of Judah. One thing jumps out to me immediately in that first verse is Zephaniah was prophesying in the days of Josiah. What do you Bible students know about Josiah? It was a great revival in Judah at the time, wasn't it? We'll look a little of that. But Judah at the time, under the good King Josiah, was experiencing what I call the last revival in Judah. Times were good. They had a godly king. And yet this terrible prophecy happens during the reign of a godly king. If you would, turn back to 2 Kings chapter 21. We'd like to look a little about what causes the prophet Zephaniah. What were the conditions that led up to this? That even during the reign of this good King Josiah, it was a prophecy of gloom and judgment and destruction. 2 Kings chapter 21. Josiah had a grandfather. It was King Manasseh. And we'd like to look a little bit about how evil he was. I'd like to begin reading at 2 Kings 21, verse 3. This is speaking of Manasseh. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal. And he made a grove, as did Ahab the king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. We find there was this evil king Manasseh. He came to rule after his godly father Hezekiah. And he reintroduced to the Judah the gods of Baal, those Phoenician gods of Baal and Asherah. He built altars, verse 4, in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. Verse 5, and he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And verse 6, and he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. And he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He made his son to pass through the fire. We understand that to be child sacrifice to the god of Moloch. And he observed times and used enchantments. All this witchcraft he reintroduced to the nation of Israel, to Judah. Verse 7, and he set a graven image of the grove that he made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. In that sacred place, the house of God, there was an idol, a graven image made. Verse 8, neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearken not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Not only did Manasseh do evil, but he seduced the people. He led the people astray. Reading on, verse 10. And the Lord spake by his servants the prophets, saying, because Manasseh king of Judah has done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hands of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside this sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. This King Manasseh was evil. And he shed innocent blood. That verse, I believe, is one of the more important ones here. Manasseh shed innocent blood. There was child sacrifice. Killing of the innocents. There were killing of the prophets. It said that Isaiah was killed by Manasseh, Psalm 2, under Manasseh's reign. He was evil, completely evil. Then he died, and his son Ammon took over, and he was no better. And he died. And in chapter 22, when Josiah was 8 years old, when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. He was a godly king. But even in the midst of this godly king, God pronounces judgment. Turn, if you would, back to, go a little forward in 2 Kings to chapter 23, verse 24. And it tells here of all the good things that Josiah did. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away. All that his grandfather did that was evil, Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him, there was no king before him that turned the Lord to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to the law of Moses. Neither after him arose any like him. It was a time of great revival. It was the last revival. They didn't know it, but it was the last revival in Judah. Times were good. But read on to the next verse. The next verse is the scary part. It says, notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him with. Despite the great revival in Judah, all the evil that Manasseh did, all the shedding of innocent blood, the judgment still fell on Judah. Turn back to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah 15. Here's a contemporary of Zephaniah, preached at the same time in history. Jeremiah 15, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. Even the prayers of the great saints that the Jewish people, the Israelites, knew, even the pleading of Moses, remember how he pleaded with God that God wouldn't destroy his people? Even the pleading of Moses now wouldn't hold back the judgment that was to come on the people. Even though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, and such are as to the sword to the sword, and such as for famine to the famine, and such as for the captivity to captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to tear, the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. Even though Moses would plead, even as such an intercessor as Moses would plead for the people, even though they lived under good King Josiah, even though they were living in a time of revival, God's judgment was sure and God's judgment was certain. The shedding of the innocent blood had to be paid for. It was inevitable that God's judgment should come. As I read those verses, does it remind you at all of us in the United States now? It does me. I'm not certain if revival will come before judgment or not. I hear some say that there'll be a great revival before God comes to judge us. I don't know if that's true or not. But I know God's judgment is inevitable. It's sure, it's certain. And as I read the description of these judgments on Judah, sounds a lot like Revelation, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like we know of the judgment that's coming to the world one day. If you would turn back to Zephaniah. Back to Zephaniah. So we're here under the good King Josiah. We know the northern kingdom was conquered by the Syrians about 100 years or so prior to this. The northern kingdom was carried off, and we know about 100 years later the southern kingdom would be judged by God and suffer the same fate under the hand of the Babylonians. Yet this good king was ruling, and this awful thing the prophet talks about here happened when things were going well. How do you think that message was received in Judah? What would it have been like to be the prophet Zephaniah? Say, all these bad things are going to happen to you. What about today? Would the prophet be any more welcome today? Zephaniah verse 2. And I will utterly consume all things. As I read this, think of how utter the destruction is. I will utterly consume all things. I will bring to an end, God says, all things from off the land. He gets right to the point, doesn't he? He doesn't beat around the bush at all, this prophet Zephaniah. He says, hear what the Lord has to say. I'm going to wipe all things away. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven, the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks. I believe that to be idols with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place in the name of the Chemarims with the priests. I believe that means false priests. And them that worship the hosts of heaven upon the housetops. He said, I'll wipe them out. The astrologers, the astronomers, I'll wipe them out. And them that worship and swear by the Lord, and then that swear by Malcolm. I believe that to be the god Moloch there. Don't let that verse trip you up, where it says, and them that worship and swear by the Lord, and them that swear by Malcolm. I think it's speaking here of a mixed religion. Of a mixed religion. There's going to be at those times some people that say, yes, we believe in God and swear by the Lord. And yet there'll be some, even though they swear by the Lord, that swear by Moloch. I want you to understand just how evil that is. We won't take the time to turn there, but you know in Exodus 32, you've heard it read that verse, they worshiped God and then they rose up to play. That word play there is not play, they rose up to play volleyball or something like that. That play is sexual. They worshiped God and then they went about with their own sexual desires and perversions. Turn, if you would, to Ezekiel 23. It's another example of that mixture. Yes, we worship God, but at the same time, we worship idols and false gods. Ezekiel 23, this mixture here is pointed out in verse 36. And the Lord said, moreover, unto me, son of man, wilt thou judge Aholah and Aholabai? Yea, declare unto them their abominations. They that have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands, and with their idols have they committed adultery, and have also caused the sons who they bear unto me to pass for them through the fire to devour them. Moreover, this they have done unto me, they have defiled my sanctuary in the same day, and they have profaned my Sabbath. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And thus have they done in the midst of my house. You see, it's a mixture. God hates mixtures. He wants all our desires. He wants our heart, our soul, and our mind. He doesn't want us to be part in God's camp and part in the camp of a false god or an idol. And he says here, those kind of people are going to be wiped off. Verse 6, back in Zephaniah. And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him, they're all going to be consumed, God says. He says through the prophet in verse 7, he says, hold. He says, be quiet, be silent. Thy peace, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice and bid his guests. The day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? We read often about it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The day of the Lord. It's a day, I believe, that it talks about God's judgment and God's wrath. It has to do with the restoration of a godly kingdom, a fulfillment of all times. I believe it's not a day as in one day, but a time span, a series of events that lead up to the end of history. The day of the Lord includes the time of Jacob's trouble. I believe the day of the Lord begins with the day the church is raptured, the day the church is called home, and the wrath of God is poured out upon people, on unbelievers. Terrible 3.5 years described in Revelation. It's a time of tribulation, of persecution, of judgment. It's a time of God's wrath. It's the day of the Lord. That's what the day of the Lord is. And it says here, hold thy peace at thy presence for the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Verse 8, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such that are clothed with strange apparel. And then it goes on. I'm quickly running out of time. It goes on to describe everyone. There was no one exempt from this great judgment. He said, in the same day I will punish all that leap on the thresholds which fill their master houses with violence and deceit. I think that means those who introduce pagan practices, false teachers. In verse 10, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there will be a noise of a cry from the fish gate and a howling from the second and a great crashing from the hills. Merchants and businessmen, how ye inhabitants of Machish, I believe that's a suburb of Jerusalem. For all the merchant people are cut down, and they that bear silver are cut off. And it goes on and on to talk about that great day of wrath and the day of trouble and distress and of devastation and of desolation. And in verse 17 there, it tells the reason why. I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men. Why? Because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. But do you know what Zephaniah's name means? It means Yahweh hides. If we would read on, and I don't want to stop here. I do want to get to verse 3. If we would read on, we find there is an answer and there is a solution. And I want you to think about that. Verse 3, Zephaniah means Yahweh hides. Verse 3 says, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, that ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. I would draw your attention to the fact that it's God here doing the hiding. Scripture tells us there's no place to hide, right? We just read it here in another verses. It says there's no place to hide. They'll try to hide in the rocks, but they'll pray the rocks fall on them. When this time, this day of the Lord comes, there'll be no place to hide by your own power. But here the prophet says, seek ye the Lord, that it shall be hid, that maybe ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. There's a difference between hiding from God and being hidden by God. And being hidden in Christ. We're familiar with that from the New Testament. To be hidden in Christ. There's a great difference. There's a great difference between the two. You know, this portion of Scripture only describes a small part of what happened in the fall of Judah. Judah did fall, and the people were carried off by the Babylonians. God did judge the nation. Yes, even though they were experiencing a time of revival, this would be the last revival, and then God's judgment fell. Makes us think about today, doesn't it? Will there be a revival in our nation before judgment falls? I don't know. But it doesn't matter too much, does it? Because there's going to be revival in the hearts of individuals. There's going to be a revival, and can be a revival, in the hearts of every individual. Whether there's a great nationwide revival, I don't know. But there's opportunity for everyone before the judgment falls. For before these terrible things happen, that God can hide them from his fierce anger and wrath. They had that opportunity then, the prophet says. We have the opportunity today in Christ Jesus, the rock. We can be hidden in Jesus Christ. We don't have to experience the terrible wrath of God. We don't have to experience his judgment. Brother Duane talked about the great mercy and grace of God this morning. Isn't it a lovely God that tells us of things that are going to happen? But he says, you don't have to go through it. I love you. He says, put your trust and your faith in me. Let me hide you from my own judgment and from my own wrath. Let me hide you in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of God that loves us. Yes, he is a God of wrath and of judgment. All that's true. But he's also a God of love and grace and willing this very day, this very hour, to hide us. May God bless you. I don't know what the future holds for us as a nation, but I do know for individuals, it's possible to escape the judgment and the wrath of God. And it's found by allowing God to hide you in the cleft of the rock, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May God bless you.
In opening, Brother Brian shared during Zephaniah that these were the words of the Lord, and he spoke much about promises, about fulfillment of Scripture tonight, prophecies. And in preparation for Sunday school there, looking forward into Matthew chapter 24 there, out of all those verses there, only two of them are not in red. That's a scary thought. It's for me it is anyway, that those are the words of Jesus that we have to handle this evening. They're words that are true. And they're words that will come to fruition because of the words of God spoken of back there in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall not he do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You know, nothing in this old world comes close to that. And I believe that's definitely part of what makes him an awesome God tonight. All who are able, shall we reverently kneel for a word of prayer.